God is so good. Amen. I want to minister today, after we pray here just in a few minutes, on a thought. God has raised Jesus up. And I've done a teaching that's be aired on all the stations, sort of along the same lines. The thought of that was, he has been lifted up. And God truly has lifted up Jesus and set him on high. Let us pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the opportunity to minister thy word and to preach thy word. Now, God, pour into our spirits that we may pour out to your people. Anoint the minds, the spirits, and the hearts and the souls of those to receive it. And Lord, if there's a person anywhere in the sound of this message, Lord, present or in the future when it's aired or wherever it might be ministered, God, that it might reach their heart and soul, and God might give them victory is our prayer. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, and in verse 37 through verse 40, this I'm going to minister on is... You have to borrow a little bit of the Easter message, because it has part of the message you hear around Easter. And it's not really an Easter message, because the preaching of the cross is 365 days a year, 52 weeks out of the year, not just Easter. You know, a lot of folks get a new Christmas outfit or get a new Easter flock, and that's the only time you see them in church. But let me tell you something. The message of Easter, he has risen, is for the Christian 365 days out of the year. But I want to look in this 12th chapter. I'm going to cover several scriptures. You can jot them down or look them up as we go, either way. But in the 12th chapter of Matthew, verse 37 through verse 40, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." And it goes on from there to say in verse 38, "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee." Now, they was always wanting to see a sign, wanting to see something that they could see with their eye. Verse 39, "But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas." Then it goes on in verse 40, "And Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Now, he give this statement. He said, there will be no other sign of this, but this will be the understanding, that just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of God be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. Now, a lot of people just take that for what it said, and that's it. They don't go nowhere with it. But through the years, I have pondered over the scriptures throughout the Word of God, and it's meant so much to me, the understanding that's brought forth in the scriptures. The Bible tells us to search the scriptures. We're to take the scriptures and to search them and learn of the things of God, not just the history of this. See, a lot of preachers, all they do is preach a history lesson. We need more than a history lesson. We need the message of the cross preached. And we need the message of God's word, and we need to declare a full counsel. Not just the history of it, good to know the history of it, but we need to know the author of this book, and we need to know salvation, amen, through the blood of Jesus Christ. So here, this understanding, we want to look at those 3 days and those three nights that the Son of God spent in the heart of the earth. And on the third day, it was promised that he would rise. Now, in Acts, in the second chapter of Acts, first of all, in verse 27, "But thou wilt not leave thou soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." Here is an understanding that's given to us here in Acts in this second chapter in verse 27. That the Holy One is not going to see corruption, neither will his soul be left in hell. Then if we go on down in that same chapter and we pick up in verse 31. He's seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh to see corruption. So understand this fulfillment. See, we've got a lot of people that claim to be the Messiah. We've got a lot of people claim that they worship God. They worship Allah and they say he's God. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ is the only one that was able to fulfill this letter of the scripture and this understanding that 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, but he would not see corruption and he would neither be left in hell. See, in the Old Testament, the upper Sheol was a place of paradise, and the Old Testament saints were in captivity in that upper Sheol, which was paradise in that day, and they could not go on into heaven because the blood of Jesus had not yet been shed, and without the shedding of the blood, there'd be no remission for sin. An animal, a heifer, a bullock, a dove, none of these things could ever pay the price for sin. They could only atone for a season until Christ came and he fulfilled the law and the letter of the word that 3 days and three nights, heart of the earth, but on the third day, he's going to rise. Amen. So when we understand and we begin to look at this 3 days and three nights, this covers the fact that Jesus is the only one that has ever fulfilled that scripture. And the word said there will be no other sign except that fact, 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, and then he shall rise. Verse 31, as we read, and then we go on to verse 32, this Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God, exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. He goes on to explain in verse 34, for David is not ascended into the heavens. See, some people thought that he was talking about David. They thought that this was an understanding of David because it was mentioned and they declared this must be David. But it said, for David is not yet ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, set thou on my right hand until I make thou foes thou footstool. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Know assuredly that he was talking about Jesus Christ, the only one that had the power to lay his life down. And he said that he, no man taketh it from him, but he had the power to lay it down and take it up again. Thank God he's the Christ. Thank the Lord, the one that the chief cornerstone, the one, the stone that the builders had rejected, now he has become the chief cornerstone and the Lord of life, and he has been crowned Lord, amen, and he has been crowned Christ, amen. Thank God for the power of his word. Then we go on further over in the Old New Testament, and we look at 1 Peter in chapter 3, verse 18 and verse 19. What was taking place while he was those 3 days and three nights? Here we get a little understanding of it. Verse 18, for Christ also has once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Christ suffered that he might bring us to God. Amen. And being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Yes, he gave up the ghost. Yes, he died. But in doing so, he was quickened by the Spirit. The physical man had to die. The flesh man had to die. And in so doing, then the inner man was quickened by the Spirit. In verse 19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. A lot of people read that and it goes right over the head. They don't even know what it's talking about. What he did those 3 days and those 3 nights, he had to fulfill that which he must deliver the Old Testament saints from Upper Sheol and deliver them to the portals of glory. Amen. If he could not have done that, then we would be in trouble because he wouldn't be able to deliver us. But he was able to fulfill, just as he said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down, take it up of my own accord. Just as he's able to fulfill that, he was able to go before old Satan in that place called Upper Sheol, and he went to Satan's domain and he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave and rose victoriously and triumphantly over them all. Amen. Makes you want to shout, don't it? Amen. I mean, that makes you want to shout if you got anything in you to shout about. Some folks, I don't have nothing in them to shout about. Amen. They don't even know what a shout is. A lot of people, they don't even understand what the power and the anointing of God is. But when you felt it, when you felt the anointing, you felt the power and the joy of the Lord, then you know what it is. Amen. Thank God we can feel it. Amen. This is not just a something we got and say, well, we'll lay it over on a shelf somewhere and we look for it later. I'm telling you, this is something that abides within us. This is something that's within our heart, our soul, and our spirit. And I don't just put it on Sunday and take it off and lay it up in the closet somewhere, but 7 days a week I feel the joy of the Lord. I feel that anointing that flows within my soul. Amen. Now then, he preached to those prisoners, those spirits that was bound. They was waiting to go on high, but they couldn't go because they was bound in Sheol and the blood had not been shed that would cleanse them and give them the privilege and the right to ascend on high. Now then, 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, verse 24 through verse 27. Then cometh the end. This gives us an understanding of what's going to take place with the New Testament saints. And I want to say this to confirm what he must do also for us that he has done for the Old Testament saints. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. He took the keys from the devil. Amen. Verse 25, for he must reign till he has put down all enemies under his feet. The last enemy shall be destroyed is death. Verse 27, for he has put all things under his feet, but when he said all things are put under him, it is manifested that he is accepted which did put all things under him. In other words, we accept that God is the one that put all things under his feet, and for that reason, the fulfillment of the word of God. And we have the keys. He said, behold, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. He didn't just take them and take them with him, but he gave it to the church. And he said, upon this church, upon this rock, I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Thank God for the word and the promise of God, and thank God that he's able to keep his word, and he fulfilled everything that he said he would. Then in Matthew in chapter 27, in verse 50 through verse 53, listen to this. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Now this is a given account of when he died. Verse 50, Jesus, there when he said he had given up the verse, and then in verse 51, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. Now this is taking place when he died. This veil in the temple was opened up, that no longer did the high priest only go there one time a year, but from then on we had direct access to God through the Spirit, and no longer did we have to have a high priest to intercede for us, but we could intercede and pray directly to God. Amen. Now verse 52, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Now, if we read that just the way it is without understanding that Matthew got so excited, the writer of Matthew, when he written this, that he told the whole thing. And I tell you, if you'd been there, you'd probably been excited too. But he told the whole thing. He said he died. He gave up the ghost. He said the veil in the temple was rent. Amen. The graves were open. But listen to verse 53, what he said. And came out of the graves after the resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. I studied out to the depth of this understanding. I've heard people say and quote some scriptures that I couldn't exactly find to that understanding, but Jesus was seen of 500 at least. Now, the number exactly of how many of the Old Testament saints were seen, I can't rightly divide that to you. But I know 500 seen Jesus. Were that same 500 seen all these Old Testament saints? I don't know. But after his resurrection, after the 3 days and three nights, all these saints of the Old Testament was seen on the streets of Jerusalem. They arose and come forth out of the tombs and the graves. They was glorified back in that body which Job said, I know that even though the skin worms devour this flesh and this same flesh, I'm going to see God, for I know my Redeemer liveth, and in the last day shall stand upon the face of this earth. Amen. That's the promise of the Word of God. And the Old Testament saints is proven that those 3 days and three nights that Christ preached to those spirits in prison, loosed them, set them free, and as his resurrection, he gathered them up and he took them forth to the portals of glory. And I get excited about that. I don't know where you do or not, but I do, because I get excited to know, and that's the reason I read to you in Paul's writing 1 Corinthians when he delivered the kingdom. That's what's going to take place at the end of the age of grace. He's going to deliver you and I and all the saints of God. When the trumpet sounds loud, it wakes the dead. We're going to go to be with the Lord. We're going to be changed in a moment of a twinkling eye. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment of a twinkling an eye. I don't know about you, but I get excited about it. Every time I go to a graveyard, I get excited. I think about, my, what a time it's going to be. I used to preach a message, and Sister Dent and Brother Dent used to be a part of our church and at that time, and Brother Dent went home to be with the Lord first, and they said when the Spirit of God hit him like that, death hit him, he jumped like the Spirit of God had hit him, and down on the ground he went, and he was dead by the time he hit the ground. And I said, I remember him getting hit by the Spirit a many times, and how he'd throw his hand up to the Lord. And he went home to be with the Lord. And I used to tell this, and Sister Lily Dent would get so happy and shout, and I'd say, listen, can you imagine one morning, Sister Lily, after being married all those years, and she went out to the graveside maybe to put some flowers on Brother Dewey's grave, and about that time she bent over to lay them flowers down, the trumpet sounded, amen, and it sounded so loud it woke the dead, and Brother Dewey got up and reached over, amen, and took Sister Lily by the hand, and up in the clouds of glory they went, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you, I get excited. I'm not a big person to, we buried my dad here just some time back, and I'm sure I'm going to go by the graveyard because we spent some money to have a stone where he was in World War II. And I want to go back and look and make sure the people we paid the money put everything there they were supposed to, because Dad wanted a military funeral, and he was a veteran of World War II, and he wanted, you know, all the things went with it. And so that we did, and I want to go back and make sure it was carried out. But I may never go back to that grave again, because Dad is not there. He's not there. Only the flesh part, only that which went back to dust is there. The part that went to be with God, amen, is in the portals of glory, waiting to be united back with the physical flesh, amen, in that day of the Lord. What a time it's going to be. But these Old Testament saints, they were seen on the streets of Jerusalem after his resurrection. And I believe they was the same spirits that he preached to in prisons. And I believe that he delivered the Old Testament saints up. And I'm going to further prove it. Amen. I want you not to rest in my understanding, but I want you to rest in verse and chapter. You can go to the verse and chapter and say, this is what the Word said. Now then, in the Gospel of St. John, and I want to get over in chapter 20. Of the Gospel of St. John. And when I get to chapter 20, I want to go to verse 8 and verse 9. Then went in also that other disciple, and came first to the sepulchre, and saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Now, here this thing was beginning to reveal itself, that this one that was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, that on the third day he had to rise. Then look at verse 10. Then the disciples went away again unto their own house, and Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked unto the sepulchre, and seeing two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. He was gone. And they say unto her, they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not this it was Jesus. Verse 15. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou had borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Verse 16. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself. She knew it was him then. And she cried out, and she said, Master. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to the brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and my Father, and to my God and to your God. Jesus said, Don't touch me. He said, I've not ascended to the Father. These souls and these spirits he had preached to in prison of the Old Testament saints, see, they had to acknowledge and accept him. No man will be in glory unless he acknowledges that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You talk about a revival, that was a 3-day revival. Amen. And I'm sure I'm going to tell you something. You think about this. Here was Jesus in the portals of glory. Now remember, there was two thieves that died, one to the either side. And one of them said, Remembereth me when thou come into thy kingdom. And this one, Jesus said to him, This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Where was he going to be? He was going to be in Upper Sheol. He was going to be in that three-day revival. Amen. He was going to be there and look upon Jesus. Could you imagine this? Jesus preached to him and he said, I am the Christ. I am the Son of the living God. I am the one that, according to the Word of God, I'm the one that Job said that he, even though the skin worms would devour his flesh, that my Redeemer would live. I am the Redeemer. I am the Messiah. I am the Christ. I am the Holy One of Israel. I am the Word of God that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I am he that was dead but now is alive and lives forevermore. And could you imagine that thief that was with him up on the cross? Could you imagine him? He punched the man beside him. He said, that's him. That's him. I was with him. Just a few hours ago, I was with him. They hung him up on a cross, put spikes in his hand and his feet, pierced his side, put a crown on him and said he was the King of the Jews. It's him. It's him. I'll tell you something. I don't believe there's many rejectors in that meeting. I believe when he preached to those spirits in captivity, I believe they accepted he was the Christ and Messiah. If we could get this world today to accept that he was the Christ and the Messiah. But when that fulfillment took place, God, amen, did what he said and done what he said he was going to do. And he preached to them, and they were delivered. But see, there was something took place there. There was a resurrection that took place. He had come forth. He was alive. And he had to deliver those Old Testament saints up to the Father. And I'm going to prove that by the Word of God. Now in the Gospel of Luke, let's go there a minute when we're coming back to John. But let's go to Luke for just a few minutes. And in the 24th chapter, let's get there first. Luke, the 24th chapter, and in verse 1 down through verse 8. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among men? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful man and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. See, you've got to read the different understandings in the gospel. You say, well, why does the gospel repeat itself? Well, you got four gospels, four different people seen what they're seeing. And every one of them seen a little something maybe different or a little more than that. Didn't cancel what the other one seen, but it added to it. So when we take the sum total of this thing, Jesus has raised forth from the dead. He has come forth and fulfilled what he said, and now they are in remembrance of his word. He had reminded them, and they had come back in remembrance of his word. Now we're going to go back to the 20th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, and we're going to find in verse 24 through verse 31, we're going to find these words. But Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. This is where he got the definition called Doubting Thomas. Amen. People say, don't you be a Doubting Thomas. This is where it come from. Then other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see his nails I shall see in his hands the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nail, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Doubting Thomas. He had to see to believe. And after 8 days, now notice here, this is after 8 days took place. When Jesus had seen them at the tomb, he would not let them touch him. He told them, touch me not, you cannot touch me. I've not ascended yet. Now then, after these 8 days, here's what verse 26 said. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within. That means they were inside. And Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the door being shut, and stood in the midst of them. Understand, he was now glorified. He was no longer in the physical body of just a man, but he had picked up a portion of the glory. Not all of it, because if he'd picked it all up, they could not have looked upon him. God, what? Moses seen the hind side of God, and they had to cover him up so people could look on Moses or they would be consumed. I'm telling you, amen. He had a portion of his glory back, and he appeared in the midst of the room with the door shut, and he said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither. Remember, he told him not to touch him, but 8 days had passed. He'd been to the Father. He delivered up all the Old Testament saints, those he'd preached to in prison, and those spirits, and he took them before the Father and fulfilled that which he had set out to do. And here's what he said. Then reach hither thy finger and put my hand, behold my hand, and reach hither thy hand and thrust into my side, and be not faithless, but be believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, believest thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen me and yet have believed. Here he said to Thomas, you've seen me, and because you've seen me, you have believed. But blessed are all those that have not seen him but believe. Not a one of us has physically seen him, but blessed are we if we believe. Amen. I get excited about this. I get excited. Then I want to conclude with two more scriptures. I want to go back to John, back over in the first part of John, in John the 7th chapter and verse 37 through verse 39. And in the last days, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, and the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Notice that he had to be glorified so that the promise, and the Bible said he told the early church to tarry there in the upper room, and the Bible said they followed him out as far as Bethany, and he blessed them, and he ascended off into the heavens. Then in John in the 12th chapter, John 12 in chapter 12 and in verse 16. These things understood not the disciple at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things which were written of him, and they that had done these things unto him. They had to be taught. They had to be shown. But to fulfillment, and let me sum it up right fast, this man Jesus was the only begotten Son of God. He was that which the Bible said that only the Lamb of God Only the precious blood of the Lamb of God could pay the price for sin and could pay the price for redemption and could set men free. He had to go to Calvary. While he was in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, there he preached to those spirits in prison of the Old Testament saints. They was delivered up at his resurrection. And he departed from this world, ascended to his Father, took all the Old Testament saints to heaven, to the portals of glory. And then he appeared back here 8 days later, and he appeared in the midst of the room where the disciples was, and the same people that he told them not to touch him, then he told them he had been glorified and they could touch him and they could believe. He was able to pass through the walls. He was spirit, not just flesh and blood, but he was spirit. He had been glorified. He had fulfilled. And he's the only one from Genesis to Revelation, from the beginning of time till this day, he's the only one that fulfilled that sign where he said the only sign will be given is that I'll be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. He ascended. He come forth. He was resurrected. And the saints of God of the Old Testament was took before God. And the next great event is we get to go. Goody, goody, goody. We get to go. Amen. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the truth. We thank you for the preaching of the cross. We thank you for the understanding that you've allowed us to have of the scriptures. And God, now we await that great day when the trumpet will sound so loud it'll wake the dead. We're looking forward to it in Jesus' name. Now, let those who receive this message, let them be saved. Let them be touched by the mighty power in the presence of God. Heal, set free, and deliver in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.